Hello and welcome to the All Time Conspiracies podcast. With me, Robin, today is a very special guest, Sam from 101 Facts.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me on this cast of pod. I've never been on one of these before.
This is really? Your very first one,
Very first one.
Oh, how exciting. And as always, we are joined by Martin.
Smooth.
We'll fill any gaps. Actually, we and ah quite a lot.
We do.
We're very guilty of that.
So. It was
The reason I did it was because I was going to say virginial, but I don't think that's the right...
Virginial.
As in like my first
just
one.
Virgin,
podcast
I think.
Virgin.
My virgin.
Yeah.
Oh, great. That's going to be isolated, isn't it? Anyway.
Yes.
Tell us, what's it like on 101 Facts? What's it about?
What's it like? Well, I mean, it's lots of hours in a VO booth. because believe it or not, I don't know if you can tell from me saying things like this now, but I mess up a lot of times when trying to speak normal sentences, so I have to redo them. Either that or my team say, why can't you pronounce this properly?
Yeah.
I was thinking the correct
that's
one.
That's the thing.
I always
think of the mantra, you can't please everybody, and then it's like, well, actually, if it's wrong, it's wrong, isn't it?
You can't please everybody.
I'm pleasing myself because I don't have to do it again.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And you do like pleasing yourself, don't you, Matt?
There we go. Yeah.
Soundproof booth.
Fantastic.
Of course, my favourite 101 Facts videos are your two videos about conspiracy.
Well, of course. I mean, you guys featured on those, I believe. If memory serves me correctly.
I think
you
so. Certainly
did. Yeah, definitely. The second one in particular. You were gracious enough to share quite a lot of facts with me, which is nice.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'd had enough of the booth that week, I imagine. I want to share it with you.
The thing about those videos is they do get quite dark, don't they? Quite fast.
Yeah, they really do. And it's obviously, you have to split up between making it fun and actually respecting that these are real things that happened and we kind of should treat them with a bit of respect and do it quite seriously. So it's sometimes a little bit difficult to kind of find the balance. We shared a lot of facts with you that week, partially because we want to utilize these little bad boys here. Sorry, it's really bad for podcasting, but his voice, I pointed at his Adam's apple.
My voice box,
which is now even deeper because you've got a cold.
Oh, well, thank you.
My God.
Yeah.
It's going to get to a point where only certain ages can hear it.
It's true. Actually, the night...
Loads of dogs come running.
The night after, we went out for our Christmas party, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs.
Oh, your voice. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I came in the next day, and everyone was just staring at me going, what has happened to your voice? Actually, on that evening, after the party, I met one of our fans in the street. He came up to me and goes,
did you?
You're that bloke from that conspiracy channel. And I said, yes, I
Is
am.
That?
And he said, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm really high. And I was like, fair enough, mate. We're just off Oxford Street in London. So that was that was nice.
That's so great,
I would say with Autumn Conspiracies, is that scarier than any other channels coming up to you and saying?
No, because I think there's a bit of a misconception that people that are into conspiracies or interested in conspiracies are like conspiracy nuts.
Yeah,
and
completely wrong.
I think a lot of people are wanting to explore the almost not the, the, you know, the government's version.
Yeah, of course.
Or the common thread.
Yeah, I suppose
knowledge.
But I suppose what I mean more. Well, not there is that, I guess. But then like, you guys have very in-depth discussions.
Yeah.
So like, if you're waiting for a bus and someone wants to have a really in-depth discussion with you
on a specific one. I think there is a little bit of that. Like, we cover lots and lots of topics and say, for instance...
And very well, may I add.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry. I'll be invited
back. For instance, Robin's researched a video on, I don't know, a particular UFO case a few years ago. You've covered a lot of cases since then. And so if someone's really into that particular case, they might be like, well, you've covered a video, you know all the details
about it.
You know, human, we are human. Don't necessarily remember, well, there's a conspiracy there. Mm-hmm. But some people, I guess, think that you'll remember everything about every single case because they're into it, which isn't always the case.
Yeah, I think when people know that you work on YouTube and kind of factual realms and that kind of thing, they're going to think, you would be the best person to have on a pub quiz team.
Because you know all the stuff you talk about, you know it, but you don't remember it necessarily. Which is actually why I picked the news topic I want to talk about today.
Move into it. Good segue.
Because you mentioned UFOs. This is kind of related to that. Certainly, it's an extraterrestrial thing. But breaking news: astronomers have announced that they have discovered more fast radio burst signals from outer space. Picked up in Canada. But what's fascinating about these is there are 13 fast radio bursts, which are known as FRBs, a repeating signal, which could...
Oh, wow.
It's so kind of mechanical in its repetition, and it could be natural or it could be unnatural.
Good message.
And this is important because FRBs have been detected before, and we've actually made videos about this.
Yes, yep.
Which is why I wanted to talk about this, because I'd kind of forgotten about the FRBs, to be honest. I had kind of forgotten about
those. Goes to my point earlier.
Yeah, which is why you reminded me to raise this point, because now we have more. And astronomers are revealing that they're detecting more and more and more, and these ones in particular come from about 1.5 billion light years away.
That's pretty crazy.
And all of these fast radio bursts are believed to come from outside our galaxy.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So the question is, do you accept what scientists are mostly saying, which is that these fast radio bursts are coming from pulsars in another galaxy that are rotating at such a rate that they send out these bursts of very, very strong radio signals that are so strong they travel all the way up to us?
Yeah.
Or do you think these short bursts of very high frequency, very strong radio waves are a communication from
So would the communication be the natural, and the quote unquote unnatural be something created like what you're saying?
Yeah,
so is that the distinction between natural and unnatural?
Oh, the way I meant it was, yeah, natural phenomenon in the sense that...
someone it's trying to communicate.
No, it's a pulsar.
Okay. So what would be unnatural?
Unnatural would be man-made. it's alien-made.
Okay, which would kind of be natural anyway, because it would be an interaction.
It's ET from with the CB radio.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, what would unnatural be?
Yeah.
Interesting. But anyway, yeah, okay.
So what's interesting about that is that it strikes me that if it was kind of natural pulsars, the frequency at which they repeat would be relatively random, right? But if it's coming from the same source and it's 13 kind of in quick succession, that kind of, I don't know, it feels...
Yeah.
Oh, I feel all tingly.
In total, scientists have discovered 50 FRB signals.
Yeah.
Correction. Did I say 50? I meant 60.
Wow.
They've discovered 60 FRB signals.
10 since you said 50.
But, I know, this is crazy. But this one is the second one that repeats.
Okay.
So they've discovered 60 different FRBs and two.
Before it was one-offs almost.
Yeah, they're just one-offs, which is why they thought, oh, they're pulsars.
Because
they're just letting off steam, you know, but this is a repeating one of 13 bursts.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, I don't know.
This reminds me.
I personally feel it's a bit too weird to be. To be natural.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a bit. I don't know. It feels like a bit too. I mean, if I was to put my conspiracy hat on.
Please do.
Please do. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, dismissing it as pulsars could be a very sort of. Dismissive way of scientists saying, "Oh, it's just you don't need to worry about that. It's just it's pulsars. You don't understand that, people.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You don't need to worry about it." Still, though, I mean, why would you have to think? Why would they hide it if it was a message? But then I suppose anarchy
what I would say is, it being so far away, they can very much say, okay, well, this is very unlikely. If it is a communication, it's very unlikely that anything more will come from this in terms of communication. I mean, it really does open up the question.
Yeah.
Have other FRBs been kind of hidden or, you know, swooped under the carpet that are much closer, because there could be, you know, more chance of us actually communicating on an ongoing basis, or even, I mean, as you say, with you know, kind of anarchy, that doesn't really matter if they're 1.5 billion.
No.
It's so far away. Why should we worry?
Yeah. So they're not worried. But could other pulses have actually been swept under the carpet because they're much closer?
I mean, that is.
Yeah. I mean,
that's real conspiratorial thinking.
Mm. Yeah, and and also it goes back to the question that if it's beyond our galaxy, how much of it could actually have been observed for us to know that it's not?
This is true.
But it's not anything.
Are we getting just a part of the signal?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Yeah. Are we getting the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How disappointing would it be if it turned out to be like a almost like the universe version of shouting in a tunnel That's actually just our own signals coming back.
Oh, that would be sad, wouldn't it?
It would be. Yeah. I mean, if it was, discovered. I'm sure that they can discount that kind of information.
Yeah. These are experts, which is why it's tempting to just accept what they say and say this is probably a neutron star or a pulsar because they're the experts. They've studied this stuff their entire lives. They've got all the data. I don't know. I really don't know enough to have a genuine opinion beyond my instincts. However, it's strange.
It's the catchphrase.
Thank you. It is strange that these things all come from outside our galaxy. Like you say, where are all the ones nearby? Why don't we get any nearby? And then, of course, we discussed in a podcast a few episodes ago about the square iceberg.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, the perfectly square iceberg.
It is possible in nature for things that seem really unlikely
to happen.
To happen.
Yeah.
But then we've got. I wasn't even that star. Was it KS?
KSI?
No. not KSI. Not a YouTube star. The megastructure, the alien megastructure. And I'm really sorry, guys, who are listening. I can't remember the name of the star. It's like KS148.
Yeah, it's
something.
A code,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a code.
Yeah.
Which had a pulsing signal as well.
Yeah.
Nothing like an FRB, because it's not a fast radio burst. But, you know, scientists, and that's much closer to us. That's just light years away rather than 1.5 billion.
Yeah.
And scientists are confused about that and they can't agree on whether or not that's just a natural phenomenon or it's an alien megastructure built around a sun to harness its energy that's as it orbits, blocking the light momentarily, which is what we're detecting. So if this thing is so far away, even if they're the experts, how can they possibly know?
How can they know? And that's true. I mean, that is a really good point. Just experts, I mean, yes, they are, but if you think back in time of all the experts through history and how it became known that actually what their expertise wasn't necessarily true, or they certainly didn't know it all. I mean,
like that guy who said the sun that the Earth is a sphere. We all know it's flat.
It's true.
Exactly.
Come it's on. True.
Spot on. Yeah.
In case anyone was interested, I will put a link in the description below. But the name of that star was KIC 8462852.
Oh right,
nice.
Yep.
Snappy. Quality. But it's interesting, I think, that when the general public, I think, or, you know, people, non-scientists, I mean, really, hear about this, because we've been fed, not been fed, but we consume so much kind of science fiction in our popular culture.
Yes.
Our immediate thought is, oh, that's aliens, that's but, you know, it could very well be a rational thing within nature, as you said, like natural radio, but I don't know, it just seems like, I think humans have this kind of weird thing where we want to convince ourselves that there's more than just us, whether that's a religious thing or whether it's a you know, extraterrestrial thing, and we want to know that it's not just us, really. So I think we're predispositioned in a way to kind of explore the options of, oh, maybe it could be that.
I think so. And I mean, if we're looking at statistically, though, it seems like it's pretty damn likely with how many galaxies there are and the conditions
needed. There is some life out there,
The conditions needed for life to exist, that it will exist. It's just whether we have actually contacted it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, and the consequences for contacting alien life. That's the other thing.
Stephen Hawking said that if there's ever any message from an extraterrestrial source, that we should never answer it. Because if they can talk to us, and have the technology to talk to us, and we can't talk to them, they're going to be far more technologically advanced than we are, and they will completely destroy us.
Yeah. True. And that is maybe a reason why, if there are FLBs that are much closer, that we have been contacted by them, but it hasn't become public knowledge as a result.
There is a part of me that always kind of jokes when this kind of news breaks, that I'm thinking, if alien civilizations have advanced technologically, they're probably more advanced than us. And if they're sending signals like these FRBs, we can't replicate that, so it's probably alien, right? Which means they've got more advanced technology than we have, which means they're at a point in society where, in a similar way that everyone has a smartphone now, what if we've got an alien civilization where everybody can get their hands on an FRB device, and you've just got some little alien child in the back garden going, so we get these 13 bursts of 13 beeps, you know, from the star, and we're like, what does it mean? It's just some kid going like laser pen.
You could have doing it with, you know, when they had when kids in the 80s had CB radios,
Yes.
Oh, like yeah.
Really. CB radio.
Yeah, it's interesting to think, and you know, it's odd that like the actions of a small alien child could be have such massive ramifications.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting that you know, I don't know what the protocol is on this. Offhand, I did research it once for alternate reality and alternate turns. You can check those out, by the way. They're good.
they are good.
The if what the protocol is on us responding to.
There isn't a fixed protocol, is there?
No, there's not.
It's just a kind of gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, there's an advisory thing that all of the world's governments should come together and agree on the message to be sent. But then do we really think that in this world that we live in now, that would happen?
No. And plus, you think about the scientists, a lot of these are state-funded, aren't they, in terms of space programs.
So yeah, that's true.
Would they actually tell the international community, or would they keep it within their own boundaries if they found out evidence of alien life? What would the advantage be of actually telling other nations? A bit like, it's not quite the same, but in Arrival, when all the nations almost fighting against each other the first ones to communicate and also...
It's a new space race.
Yeah, the different ways in which the tactics used to communicate, and it's almost similar. It's like we are a world of nations, as much as some people wouldn't like that to be the case. We are.
Yeah.
And so I think state-funded space programs kind of
muddies
the waters slightly on how to respond.
But then can we assume privately funded space programs would be less competitive?
Better, I don't think
they'd sell it to the highest bidder.
Totally, they would. Yeah. And
so you know, it's we're fundamentally tribalist people, which is a shame. One hopes, perhaps, that Stephen Hawking is right when he said that aliens would be too smart to get in touch with us.
Yeah, they wouldn't bother.
Yeah, you know, they would wait until we're all unified.
Yeah.
Goodness knows when or how that will happen.
But, because if we assume there's an alien race, an extremely advanced alien race out there, and they contact us, they don't necessarily need us for anything, except for maybe space or food.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So it probably wouldn't be through some sort of cooperation. There's another argument that they're above violence and that they're
peace-loving.
But, I mean, we always think of them as being made of carbon.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it.
There's nothing to suggest that that's the case.
That's true. There could be something.
It could be anything. That is the real issue.
Yeah. But to quote a film that I'm going to ask both of you which film it is.
Okay. Early quiz.
An ant has no quarrel with a boot.
Oh, that's the Avengers.
Yeah,
that's Nick Fury, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Loki says it to Nick Fury.
Oh,
But as in, like, they are so big and so, like, so beyond us that they would just... They are only using us to step
to do
on
something.
Us. Yeah, to do something.
Mm. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I said that. I mean, you think about us as a species. If we could just communicate with outsiders and aliens, would we be... Yeah, we'll be advanced enough for that, and I'm sure that there'd be the argument that we were, in effect, actually trying to be conquerors of other planets. But at the same time, it's like, the first step would be just to communicate. From our point of view, it'd be like, wow, isn't that amazing that we can communicate? It wouldn't necessarily be that.
Yeah, and it would be. I think it would be useful for us as well. Like, having just talked about unifying humanity, if as soon as you make first contact, half the world's going to go into panic because call all their beliefs into question. Half the world's going to be really excited, and then so you need that phase where all we can do is communicate. We can't actually physically meet them because that gives us time to kind of get over it and be like, actually,
it's calm down, dear.
Yeah, we're okay.
But it's almost like the Watchmen thing, isn't it? Where in Watchmen, I mean, this is a spoiler for the comic of Watchmen if you've never read it. So I'm sorry, but it's 30 years later. But the Ozymandias purposely brings through an alien from a far off dimension specifically so that human beings could unify and rally together against the other.
Yes.
Yeah. So it would be interesting to see whether or not if we did know that there was an alien, another alien race out there, whether or not we'd say, as you said, we're very tribalist, so we would come together as humans and put aside kind of nationalistic differences and stuff like that.
What year did that come out?
That was in 1985.
Yeah.
Okay. The other, okay. Certain historical, throughout history, really.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Well, that's alluding to a bit of a microcosm there.
But that's his point. That's Ozymandias's point. That he brings that in specifically. In the movie, it's Dr. Manhattan, which is slightly...
I actually quite like the movie's version.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, right.
Which is the case.
Oh, sorry. I just ruined it for you, though.
Yeah.
That's fine. I probably wasn't going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I quite like the way the movie changed the ending. I thought it was quite clever.
Yeah, it brings two strands together. It's quite
nicely. The only thing it didn't. Well, let's get into that. So, what news have you guys brought with you?
Shall I go first? Yeah. Yes, I shall. So, a little while ago, we did a conspiracy video on Max Spires, a conspiracy theorist, ufologist.
Name rings a bell.
Ironic last name.
Spires, yeah. Who died, unfortunately, in mysterious circumstances in Warsaw in July 2016.
Yeah.
And this week, the coroner of the investigation has come out and attacked incompetent police in Warsaw and the UK as almost fueling the conspiracy theories because they basically didn't do their job properly.
So is he a British man who died in Warsaw?
That's correct.
Which is why the UK police were involved.
Yeah. So he's from Kent, so, you know, big up Kent. Kent in England. So basically, he died back in 2016 and in mysterious circumstances. It was called natural causes. They deemed it natural causes.
Right, yeah.
Which can mean lots of different things.
Yeah, that's such a catch-all term.
Exactly. So he was meant to be basically speaking at this business conference out there, and he was staying with another conspiracy theorist or conspiracy enthusiast.
Mm.
And he basically woke up. Well, he didn't wake up. He vomited in his sleep. Vomited up over 2 liters of this black liquid. And unfortunately died.
That's nasty.
Liquid. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So the part that got everyone in the conspiracy community interested was one that he was a conspiracy theorist. If a conspiracy theorist dies, there's going to be a lot of fanfare around it. The second part was that he actually contacted his mother a few days before, sending a text message saying that she should investigate if anything happened to him because he thought he was going to be murdered.
Well,
a few days before he was.
That's suspicious.
Yeah. So this more recent inquest found that he had actually taken drugs beforehand, and he had overdosed on the drug Xanax.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, which I know quite a few rappers have done in the US as well. Have overdosed on this. So that was kind of a revelation. But basically, this article is blaming the police for not investigating it properly and really not showing why he had stopped breathing and why he had died, which caused the whole fanfare around it. So two police officers who visited Duval, who was the person who Max Spires was staying with in Warsaw, she said that they didn't actually investigate when they were there. They just kind of carried him out and didn't investigate what had actually happened. Investigate the cause of death. They just put it down to natural causes and said that he had died of kind of pneumonia. And so it wasn't actually said what happened. Max Spires, he was investigating UFOs and also those who he considered dangerous in the government and the entertainment industry.
Mm.
And so because there was no proper post-mortem at the time as well, nobody knew what had gone on with him. And so, of course, this led to it being a massive, huge topic. So they've come out and said that they basically blame the police now. Over 2 years later, 2.5 years later.
Yeah.
But this asks questions: Is the coroner and those behind the investigation trying to cover this up by saying that the police just didn't investigate it properly and didn't provide all the facts at the time?
Mm-hmm.
Or did he die from this Xanax poisoning? It kind of opens up the question to: are they just trying to shut this down now to stop the conspiracy theory?
I mean,
the conspiracy theory is that he was poisoned and killed. He sent this text message.
Mm.
That's the theory. This coming out now, it's really, really odd timing 2 years later for them to just go, the police were incompetent. They didn't give us all the facts.
Yeah.
So what are your guys' thoughts?
I mean, the Xanax poisoning could be the cause of death, but it doesn't mean he self-administered.
Yeah, exactly.
Could be something.
Yeah.
And also that could, someone dying with a lot of drugs in them having been very clearly very paranoid. It kind of back explains, not what I mean, but kind of retrospectively explains why he would be so paranoid. Not that I don't think Xanax does that actually, but it can kind of discredit what he was saying.
Yeah, well, said that he wasn't a paranoid conspiracy theorist. You know, that he was a normal person that was just investigating elements of, you know, individuals within the government who he thought were. So he wasn't I mean, like, he wasn't paranoid or crazy, and that's one of the points that's brought out in this article.
This all rings a lot of bells. Familiar ones, remember the octopus?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Similar case from the early 90s, I think, of a journalist who has claimed to be investigating something big involving government officials, and then he was found dead under mysterious circumstances. Apparent suicide, but...
he was brought. Yeah, we brought this up a few weeks ago. So just a few weeks ago, episode. Yeah. I think it's episode what, eight, seven, six,
seven, or eight,
something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
It's called the Octopus.
And he also had warned his relatives just before he died that he might die, and therefore
And he inflicted 12 stab wounds. So on himself,
12 or 13,
or
on himself.
Slashes on himself, and
which
I mean,
is
that's
himself.
On himself. Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? And he was also found naked in the bath, and He was
normal to be naked in the bath, isn't it?
Yeah,
well,
he wouldn't necessarily wanted to be found exposed.
No.
Most people that kill themselves apparently are fully dressed. There was lots of
weird
evidence that suggested that he maybe hadn't done it to himself.
But I mean, this is perhaps stretching it. But do you think is this the octopus again with Max Spears?
Maybe. Yeah,
but
it could be.
Yeah. The thing I always think about this, not always think about this, but when stuff like this happens, is so he's blaming the police.
Mm.
So
yeah.
The coroner's saying that the police didn't give all the facts at the time, but then if this is this big entrenched conspiracy, the people that would have gone to the crime scene wouldn't have been necessarily in on it, because they would just be first responders. They wouldn't necessarily be, you know, not everyone can be involved in such a big
thing.
If they poisoned, they would know that they'd given him enough.
No, but I suppose they could. So I guess you could then, the police could then cover it up retrospectively in records and stuff. But
yeah, if I were going to cover it up, I think you're right. I'd want the first responders to not know anything about it.
Yeah.
But all you have to do is wiretap, intercept the phone of the person you're staying with, so that when they call up and say, this guy's dead, you send in the right people.
Okay, yeah. Mm.
The right people who you can trust, and you tell them, like, by the way, just get the body out of there. They don't have to know why they're doing it or... what the circumstance would be, but if they're told by their superior this guy's just died of pneumonia, get the body out.
Yep.
You can control who the first responder is, right?
Yeah.
And only, as long as you intercept the call.
Only really takes one insider, doesn't it?
That's
the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes one insider to
in the right position.
Yeah, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought it was interesting. Is it just a case of malpractice? Well, clearly.
It's a little bit of that going on, yeah.
But is it something more? I mean, the conspiracy still stands and still exists. I think if anything, this almost adds to it, because it's suggesting that 2 years on, they are trying to maybe shut it down.
Yeah, although you say shut it down, but for me, it's just renewed my interest in the case.
Yeah.
You know, now you mentioned it and brought it up again, I kind of...
Yeah, they should have left it.
Yeah. People forget.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an interesting one. I think this may well be the end of the case. I can't imagine that...
The official case.
Yeah, that there's going to be too much more. I think they're probably going to close it down and put it down to poor policing. The fact that, as Duval, the flatmate said, there was no examination or further investigation when they got to the flat. It was just...
In my head, when you
natural
say Duval,
causes, the body's out there.
I imagine Robert Duval.
Yeah.
As his flatmate.
Or Shelley Duval.
Yeah.
Screaming
against
the bathroom door. I think this is one of those little conspiracy theories that explains, if you ever had any doubt, why conspiracy theories exist. Mm. Why people have doubts. Because you've got a really suspicious event going on, and then either genuine or falsified incompetence by the authorities.
Yeah. If not, the stars have aligned, haven't they?
Yeah.
A conspiracy theorist, death that wasn't investigated properly, the fact that he said that he was going to die.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that, if they are coincidences, they really are quite staggering.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then you always get police and authorities and politicians who are like, why do you dumbasses believe in conspiracy theories? You're all crazy. Just like, have you looked at what you've been up to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I'd say that the more you look into conspiracy theories, like, most people think of conspiracy theories as flat earthers.
Yeah, crazy.
There's a massive divide between those that are considered almost on the extremes and those that there is, at the very least, evidence for, or at least facts that point to evidence.
Yeah. There's a spectrum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because as you say,
absolutely.
People say that this is kind of why people believe in conspiracies. Because stuff like that, you can with all the stuff around it, it's like, oh my god, yeah, I guess so. But then when you think of stuff like, I hate to point him out as an example, but David Icke's lizard theory. I always think that is the kind of almost the most extreme end of. But you know, that's not to say and could I be true.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of these people are just put in the same basket.
Yeah, like, yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah. And the, like, those ones on the far side are used to discredit the people who are closer to the truth.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, and people who want to shut down any kind of critical analysis will say, oh, no, but he's spoken before about this, which is maybe on the margins of being far-fetched.
Mm.
But also the majority of maybe someone like Spire's research was actually legit shadiness going on within government and within entertainment, which is what his focus was. But he's often described just as a ufologist, which in most people's minds is like aliens in the sky, which often discredits the other stuff that he's researching. Yeah. And that's not to say that UFOs, you know, of course, what? Don't exist. It's, that's not the case.
But. You're right. As soon as if you take that logic that people have and then put it to a different context, and you say you meet someone who's, say, Neil deGrasse Tyson, for instance, if you found out tomorrow that he was a Catholic, would your respect for him diminish at all? Probably not, because, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson is a really clever guy who knows his stuff about science.
Yeah.
The fact that he might turn out to be really religious, would it really change your opinion of him?
No.
Or rather, would it really change your esteem of him? Maybe a little bit. But then you transpose that to what you just said, like, oh, this fellow who's investigating corruption in the government, oh, he's a ufologist as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of the same thing. It's like they're two separate facets of the same personality. It's fascinating.
It is. Yeah. It is. And there's so much more to discuss than just the conspiracy, for sure.
Oh, yeah, but so much more.
These things really scare me in a way, but partly because I don't want you two to...
It could be real.
Like
could
that.
Be
real.
Well, not
together.
Hopefully, going to end up in a bath. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. Robin,
that's harsh.
Yes.
What have you got for us?
Robin's already done his.
Sam.
Of course he has. So Sam, a lot of people accuse me of being quite late to the news. As in, like, I get I
in general.
I read things.
You're
that,
remarkably on the button when it comes to Marvel.
Thank you very much. Because MCU, apparently, my news story is apparently Princess Diana died. I didn't know that happened. The thing I was going to talk about, which isn't necessarily conspiracy related, but I just think is interesting, and it's happening a lot in the UK in particular over the past month or so.
Brexit.
Flash mobs.
Oh, God, no. I've had enough of Brexit. It's not happy slapping. It's drones interrupting stuff at airports.
Bloody drones.
Or shutting down.
Yeah.
So there was a big thing, if you don't know about this, there was a big thing just before Christmas over here at one of our airports called Gatwick Airport.
Big international airport hub.
Huge. Matt, one of the biggest in the UK. And all flights shut down for, I don't know how long. Was it
about three days?
Yeah. Because someone spotted a drone flying around the vicinity of the airport. Now it's obvious why that's dangerous, because you could use that to fly into a turbine and a plane.
If you fly a drone into a plane's windshield, it will go through it.
Yeah,
velocity.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. If you fly into any part of the plane, at the very least, it's disruption towards flight paths. At the very most, it could be I can understand why it happened.
Yeah, yeah. Safety first. Yeah.
And it happened again a few days, like yesterday, I think. Maybe the day before yesterday.
A Heathrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People thought they spotted a drone again.
Don't forget, in Wales, did you know about this one?
No,
the Severn Bridge was closed for a time because of the drone. Yeah.
On the bridge?
On the bridge.
On the bridge? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I suppose it could fly into cars.
I don't know, but that it was.
But it's just interesting
Have a look. Feel free to look it up.
But it just goes to show drones, because people don't know, or authorities don't know how to respond to them yet, they cause massive disruption.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Drones are extremely dangerous. They're fun to play with, but they're extremely dangerous in that you see one and you don't know who's controlling it, you don't know what its intent is, you don't know all this. And, you know, but that you could say that of anything, but you can, you know, remote control cars, for example, but these are much more dangerous because you can get them into certain areas where you wouldn't be able to access. Like, I think there's a rule on how high they can go up. Is that right?
There is, but it's easy to disregard that rule.
No, totally. Yeah. And you wouldn't necessarily be caught for it. That being said, in the Gatwick Airport thing, a couple of people, could, just because they love drones and were near Gatwick Airport, were arrested.
Weren't they? It was awful. And their faces were plastered over the news. I mean, I think there's a big question here, isn't there, about people having freedom to act as they will.
Yeah.
And then what the regulation should be, because clearly something needs to change in terms of regulation. If you can't have an airport closed down for 3 days, it's mad.
It's sort of baffling to me that like drones aren't like, they're not hot off the presses. They've been around for like 2, maybe 3 years. This hasn't happened yet. And also that they haven't got anything to...
Well, I say Gatwick is an official no-fly zone for drones, but there's nothing to enforce it. And you'd think, if your business is airplanes, you would have a system in place already, like you say, after this many years, an anti-drone system.
Yes, they get to a certain point and they drop out of the sky.
The funny thing is that the Heathrow incident lasted maybe a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Because they dealt with it really quickly. I'm not actually sure how they dealt with it. Yeah. But they shot it down. But since Gatwick, apparently, they've now upped it. But it seems weird to me that they wouldn't have done that in the first place, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
It is a massive problem dealing with drones, because obviously you could shoot them down with guns, but there's a problem of marksmanship. They're small, fast-moving targets.
Yeah.
It's very hard to physically shoot down a drone. Mm. And then, of course, you've got the problem that if you successfully shoot it down, it's going to land somewhere, potentially on somebody's head. So there's all kind of safety reasons that people don't want, you know, guards with guns shooting down drones. That may be the solution.
Sniper Elite. So
yeah, you're quite good.
Get me there.
Like
the X-ray vision on hitting a drone.
It's his testicles.
Another solution that's been suggested.
Just a drone with
EMP.
Balls
then. EMP. Yeah, problem with EMP, of course.
It could also shut down everything else.
Everything else. Yeah, it has. You can't target EMP. It just hits everything.
I think. Yeah. Were the Gatwick people actually caught? Who did that?
No. Well, no. What's really funny and almost Monty Python-esque is that apparently. So what happened was someone spotted a drone, and then police drones came in.
Yeah, which then police drones caused more disruption.
And then now, the theory is that there wasn't a drone in the first place. And then from there, when people saw the drones, they were the police drones looking for a drone that wasn't there.
Oh, I see. Okay. I mean, what I think probably will happen going forward is that the punishment for flying a drone in a non-fly zone will be insanely extreme.
Yes.
It'll be like, they'll get like 10 years in prison.
Yeah.
And then no one would do it because it'll be like, what's the point? We can't do that.
And I think this is a piece of legislation they're already kind of floating, which is licenses for drones. You can't own and fly a drone unless you have a license.
I mean, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough because then, a bit like the debate over the right to bear arms in the US, it's like, who has the drones? Like, drones are only going to get more powerful if drones then even became, I don't know, weaponized in some senses.
Yeah,
but they already are. Yeah. But obviously in a military capacity.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm talking about more domestic drones.
Yeah,
but if only those drones were in the hands of the authorities, then it puts Joe Public at a significant disadvantage.
Strap a knife to it and just fly it through a town centre. But don't do that.
I think there was a teenager.
That's weaponized, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think there was a teenager in America who strapped a handgun to his drone and then flew it around. And I think it may have been Texas or Arizona or something
that's
like that.
Stupid. How did it shoot it?
And he got arrested, rightly so, because he was panicking a lot of people. But then I don't think they actually held him because they couldn't charge him with any crime, because it's not a crime to strap a handgun to a drone. And he owned the handgun, so
I mean, they can make legislation for that.
Yeah,
but it's one of those, definitely a loophole, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's not even. It's not like he's carrying it around either.
Yeah. But we've all been waiting for it. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before. When drones first started being a thing that was commonly available on the market, we were just like, it's only a matter of time before the government panics and does some severe, you know, brings the hammer down pretty hard on drones.
They're so slow at doing it.
They are surprisingly slow. And this is the thing. And like you say, it's the fact that it's taken this massive, massive event in Gatwick to actually make them look at it and think, oh, actually, drones could be a problem. And the thing is, they also got this additional problem now of governments are always desperate to appear business friendly. And businesses like Amazon, small businesses want to use drones for their services, and there's no way the government is going to stop massive corporations like Amazon doing what they want to do.
Do you think that's actually going to happen?
I don't think it is.
I can't imagine so. I know they mentioned it, but it seems like a little bit of a gimmick. Like, the cost of that Even the cost of them breaking down and having to go and pick them up.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, it's just delivery. I think it has happened, but like pilot stages in America.
Yes, yeah.
But then the thing that always gets me about this is that, so, okay, I've just, say if I just order a tea towel.
Mm.
Don't know why, I'm in a free country, I can order a tea towel.
Tea towel delivered by drone. Or
order a bike.
Right, so then, a drone goes from a warehouse, picks it up, right, and I'm here.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not going to fly, like, really low, because that's dangerous.
Yeah.
But similarly, it can't go too high either, because then it will be in flight paths. But also, then you've got the middle, when you've got stuff like helicopters.
Mm.
Like, I can't think of a conceivable way to do it without a human there to be like, oh, like, to change its flight path.
The other thing is, you can't really just drop it off on the... I mean, no. Maybe you could, but you can't drop it around with your neighbour if you're not in. It's just like,
the drone
has to go back now.
No.
Yeah, the drone can't leave a note saying, sorry, you weren't in.
You weren't in, maybe it could.
Although, to be fair, the notes that I get never have any information on them anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
they might tick a box, but they never put an address down.
Or they're on the doorstep, soaked, because it's been raining.
Yeah.
I had one once which just said, it was put through my door, and it just said... all of the tick boxes weren't ticked except for one that said other, and it just said letterbox. I was like, well, it's not here, is it?
Huh?
What letterbox is it in? It's not mine.
Neighbour's letterbox.
I want my tea towel.
Well, I got one. I've had many over the years, because letterbox doesn't fit parcels, but I got one that once all they'd done was tick. They're supposed to put their name on, supposed to put their address on and everything, and the time, but they hadn't done that. They just ticked the box that said your parcel is in your specified safe place or something. And I was just like, I haven't specified a safe place. Like, I've never done that. No one's ever asked me that. Anything. No. And I was really confused. I can't remember where it was in the end, but I remember it was in a really odd location, like the neighbour's bins or something.
That almost seems... Like, it's like when you forget your password and it's like, oh, it's been sent to your email address, but then you can't log into your email address.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. I remember seeing something online once where someone delivered an Amazon parcel and the person wasn't in.
Mm.
So they threw it through a second floor window. They landed in the toilet.
Oh.
That's a good shot.
It was like an electronic thing, so it just didn't work.
So
would a drone be better? No.
So what can be done about the issue with drones and
well, one of my favorite disruption. Things, one of my favorite things that came out of that Gatwick thing was a clip of an elderly woman saying they should bring back hanging for this.
Wow.
Not that. But I think the punishment side will probably be. But then, how do you prove it?
That it's them.
You're gonna have to bring in.
Yeah. Maybe that comes down to licensing.
Yeah.
And then if
maybe it has a little like a dog's collar on it that says where it comes from and its name.
You have to put some kind of like I don't know some kind of electronic
ID
chip on the drone that matches the controller.
Yeah.
You know, so you can just.
Yeah, and then look at where it's been, like a GPS.
Yeah.
In terms of the controller.
Actually, good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we've just solved the problem.
There we go. Get on with it.
Solutions. You're welcome, come on, guys. Government. Get on with it.
Now, Brexit.
Cool. I think we could probably do a better job than the government with Brexit.
Probably. I mean.
Good luck to it. I mean, I don't have the time, lads, but if you...
How's next Thursday?
I'm very busy washing my hair individually. Each follicle.
Every follicle.
very good.
Well, I think we should move on to something a bit more fun. Martin, you prepared a quiz for us.
Oh, yeah. I love a quiz.
So, Sam, this is your very first.
This is my
conspiracies
virgin quiz.
Your virgin quiz.
So, guys, the quiz. Show us your buzzers. What do you got, Sam? Nice. Bit of Leon there.
Gary Oldman from Leon.
Yep.
The professional.
And Robin, what have you gone for?
That's Gary.
Well, that's not Gary.
That's Graham Norton. I don't know what that's like.
Oh, I've gone for the classic.
It is. Whelm scream. Nice. Good quality. One. So, 10 questions. If you're tied, it's a tiebreaker. And, good luck to both of you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Are you ready?
All right.
I was literally born ready.
You were ready? When you were born, you were ready for
this
quiz.
For this quiz specifically.
Oh my god, baby's born ready.
I was born ruddy. I had a fleshy complexion.
I was born slippy.
Why is that? Because of your mother's innards.
Oh, no.
Now let's get on with the quiz.
Train
spot. All right then.
Okay. Number one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What is the third letter of the Greek alphabet?
Damn. Trick question.
Sorry.
Is this a trick question, but I'm going to say Kappa?
No.
Is it Siba?
No.
Oh.
One more guess each.
Oh, I'm lost.
Okay.
Is it Ceta?
No.
Well, that's my guess gone.
Well, it goes Alpha, Beta, and...
Charlie.
Gamma.
Correct.
Actually, gamma.
Seriously?
It's not, it's not a C. It's Gamma.
Oh.
1-0 to Robin.
That was... I don't deserve that. I just guessed the few letters I
Damn.
Know.
Well,
the next letter was going to be Omega, which
that's,
I know...
That's the way to do it sometimes. That's the way to do it. Okay, question number two. Which country consumes the most coffee per person in the world?
You first.
Okay, I think it's Colombia.
It is not Colombia.
Per person?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Jersey Isle.
No, but honestly, that's closer.
Oh. Clue there. Is it Luxembourg?
No.
Oh.
Although they were on the top 10 list.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, my serious first guess is going to be the UK, but that's not correct.
It's not the UK.
Oh.
So, the country that consumes the most coffee per person is, in fact, Finland.
Oh.
Followed by, I've got the others down as well, Norway and Iceland. It's Nordic countries that consume the most coffee per person.
I didn't realise they love their coffee so much.
It's very cold there.
I forgot to write down exactly how much, but I think it was around 12.5 kilos per person in terms of beans.
Over their lifetime or per day?
Per year.
Oh, per year.
Per year.
Which is pretty crazy, right?
That is a lot of coffee beans.
A lot of coffee. Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder why they like coffee so much. Maybe it's just hard to get tea or coffee.
Well, because it's dark and they need to stay awake. Sweep
there,
the question there.
Yep.
Very nice.
Every time I'm in a dark room, I just fall asleep.
Yeah.
Coffee. I like coffee. Anyway, question number three.
Yeah.
I like coffee. Question number three. This week in California, a man was caught on CCTV doing what strange act for 3 whole hours?
I know the answer. Can I jump in early like that?
No, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
He was licking a doorbell.
He was licking a doorbell
for three hours.
Caught on CCTV. Well, home security.
I'm glad I missed this, but also, what?
Yeah, crazy, right?
He's licking a doorbell. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Until six.
So he was off his head, right? He wasn't.
Question number four, what was he on? No.
I don't know.
I don't know about this. Come on, guys. Can't just leave
can I say this? He urinated in the front garden.
Oh, we'll bleep that out.
And then went back. And then he licked the doorbell a bit more and then went away.
Yeah, I was wondering, I only read the doorbell bit, but I was wondering why the police were after him just for licking a doorbell. I mean, it is weird, and maybe it's trespassing.
Was it his
but
doorbell?
The urinating isn't great.
It was someone else's doorbell.
He was arrested for prowling, which I didn't know was a real thing.
What was the thing? Like, imagine being that person who he didn't realise he'd been licking your doorbell for 3 hours and in the morning.
My tongue tastes brassy.
Yeah.
Yes. I've been thinking about my doorbell.
Imagine
when
if it went off. Ding dong. Oh, shit.
Oh, he's swore.
He's there.
Looking.
And they open up the door. That swearing is fine.
I'm thinking about my doorbell.
What's one of those electronic doorbells? You know, the little white button in the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Did he think it was a nipple? Is that what's going on?
What nipples have you actually done after that?
He was trying to feed from the doorbell as a 35-year-old man. Oh, very good. So 1-1. Okay, question number four.
Ugh.
If they were both alive today, who would be older? Johnny Cash or Elvis Presley?
I think it's...
I'm not going to... By the way, just before you answer, I'm not going to say what the answer is. I'm going to let Robin answer as well. So that there's...
Okay.
It's either a draw and you both get 1 point or...
Okay. So okay.
Johnny Cash, I believe the answer is.
Okay. Robin?
I would have guessed Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash is correct. 1 point each.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well done. So that's 2-2.
Are you sure this is correct this time?
It is correct. Sam, you probably don't know about this, but the first time I did this question, and I've decided to do it.
We've done that exact question
before.
I know, but who would be older if they're both
right
today?
Yeah, yeah.
And I've done it a few times just to kind of cement the fact that I can get this right, because the first time I did it, I said, who would be older? I said, who did I say? Thomas Cromwell?
Charles Darwin or Albert Einstein?
That was it, yeah.
And Darwin died before Einstein was born, right?
Yes, I got the year wrong, okay? I got the birth and the death years mixed up,
but,
yeah.
But better still, I think I said Charles Darwin because it was too obvious.
Yeah.
And you said, no, is that what I'm saying?
I had what was on the paper, okay? The paper is always right.
Vlad the Impaler or Freddie Mercury.
Exactly. So now every week, every time I do the quiz, I try and get one of those questions just to prove that I can still got it.
That was a good one. That was a good question.
Okay. Two all.
Ooh, tense.
I think.
Question five.
No, it's 1-0. 1-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, two all.
There you go.
Okay. Number five. There was controversy at this year's CES, the International Consumer Electronics Show, over the removal of a particular item from the show. What was this item and why did it cause a stir?
Oh, I don't actually know that.
Was it a self-motivating spoon? And it stirs on its own.
Self-motivating spoon?
Go on, you can do it.
It was not a spoon, unfortunately.
No. That is very powerful, isn't it, when you hear it so often. I think this is a guess.
Mm.
But was a robot removed because it wasn't considered technology and was considered a living being?
No. Okay, so the answer
would be quite controversial.
That would be massive news. We should know about that.
The answer is that it was actually a female sex toy, and the show was seen to have a gender bias because there were lots of male-orientated sex technologies being shown, like VR porn, which was mainly male, and unrealistic female sex dolls, which were actually included in the show, but this one was removed.
Why did they remove that one?
Because they saw it as lewd, not appropriate for the category it was in. It was in, like, female technologies, like female-based technologies.
Oh, right.
There's a little bit more to it, but it just seemed a little bit
standard. How the hell could a sex toy be considered too lewd?
That's it.
But that makes sense now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. Okay, still two all. This one would definitely be a fastest finger.
I do like to be fast with my fingers.
Well, hopefully, if you know it.
Too fast.
You have to answer. You've buzzed. Number six.
Yeah.
What is the capital of Latvia? Okay, no fastest finger burst on this one then.
L.
Nice.
Thanks,
mate. I should know this.
I actually don't. This is really bad. I don't know.
I could change it to another country if you like.
No. I actually want to know. Latvia.
That's going to annoy me. Oh.
This is wrong. I know this is wrong. I'm just going to say Belgrade.
No, that is wrong.
Yeah.
That's Serbia, right?
Belgravia.
No.
It's the area of London.
Yes.
Dr. Doomtown. Oh no, that's Latvia.
That's like,
what is it?
It's Riga.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I'll come out and say it. No, I didn't know it.
Well, terrible geography.
Question number seven. Still two all. Current president Donald Trump has an estimated net worth of $3.7 billion, making him the richest president in history.
Yeah.
But who is listed as the poorest president in history, adjusted for inflation? Two guesses.
Woodrow Wilson.
No.
Abraham Lincoln.
No, but he's right down there.
Sorry?
Is he now? What's he doing?
Gosh.
It's going to be one of the early ones, isn't it?
Yeah. Wait. Truman.
Correct. Truman, yes.
Yeah.
He earned a pittance, under $1 million. So
that's nothing.
But having said that, I guess presidents with... Nowadays, the president
that's
has
part
their
of his
book
thing,
deals,
isn't it?
They've yeah. got speeches yeah. and all this kind of stuff, whereas way back when, you know, the people's president... So.
Well, that's one of the exceptional things about Truman, is that even for his time, he was unusually poor because he was only a senator. He wasn't doing anything else.
Yeah.
And he refused to do anything else except be a senator. So he didn't have all these other business interests. Like, because we all know most congressmen and women have something else going on the side.
Yeah,
or 100%. They generate loads of wealth. I mean, to be honest, I'd like to know what the average wealth is actually for Congress.
I looked at the median, went down all the presidents throughout history. And if you go down, put them all in a row and then go down to the middle, it's 10 million. And roughly JFK, in fact, which I thought he'd be higher.
I thought he'd be higher too. I thought they were all massively.
Yeah, no, he was around 10 million, and that seemed to be medium.
That's adjusted for inflation.
There were quite a few that were on 1 million. And then, of course, there were, I think the second was George Washington, $560 million, I think. Yeah, so...
Wow.
It is quite a lot of money. Quite a few of them were the old school presidents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they had all that as a...
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All that land... And the people on it.
Careful. What? What?
Careful. Trying to look at the questions.
I wasn't trying to look at the questions.
Okay, cool.
So 3-2 to Sam.
3-2 to Sam.
Heck yes. Yeah.
Truman, well done. Okay. The Prime Minister of Australia tweeted this week saying, please focus on the hair or lack thereof. But what was this in a response to?
So many things running through my mind. I can't say.
This is interesting.
It's kind of it's kind of a no or you don't, I think, on this one. If you don't, it's almost really impossible to guess it. Oh.
That sex toy that was banned from the show.
Not quite. Robin, have you got anything, or shall I just go for
I could take a wild stab in the dark that it's regarding animal cruelty.
No.
Oh.
Okay, so I've got a picture of it, which you won't be able to see at home on if you're listening, or on YouTube probably, because I'm quite far away. But it is about the fact that... He had his shoes photoshopped onto an official picture. So look how bad this Photoshop job is. And he's also got two left feet. They've just transferred that.
That is incredible. Look at that.
That is appalling.
Look how bad that is. If you haven't seen this,
please focus on the hair.
Go on to the Prime Minister of Australia's Twitter page.
Why though? What was he? Was it just socks?
He had shoes Google on that were considered they're a bit scuffy. They're a bit scuffed up. You know.
Yeah.
They're scruffy shoes, and so whoever did this, I mean, it's just utterly ridiculous.
Couldn't they just crop the photo above his leg? Yeah, he didn't.
Oh, that's an appalling. That's pure class.
It is
bizarre. And then he responded saying, you know, focus on the hair and their lack thereof. But he also tweeted a picture of his actual scruffy, dirty shoes, saying, when I'm not in formal wear, these are what I wear, which. I think some decent move, really, considering...
Well, I don't see what the problem... Yeah, yeah. What's the problem with having dirty shoes?
You don't have to have pristine white Photoshop shoes.
Like their sixth Prime Minister and...
Yeah, they've had... The turnover's pretty high. I mean, yeah. I might have a go myself. yeah. Just have to put on an accent.
Okay. Go on, put on an accent now. Read out the next question in Australian
accent. Next question,
yeah. There we go.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't.
Come on.
Chicken. What's the difference in height in centimetres between the world's tallest and shortest people currently living? What's the difference in height in centimetres between the world's tallest and shortest people currently living?
I'm going to say...
Sorry, that was awful.
Is it closest wins?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I'll go for a nice round 296 centimetres.
The difference between the shortest and tallest. Okay. 3 metres tall. 3 metres difference. Okay.
160 centimetres.
Yeah, Sam, you are closest. So the shortest person in the world is Jyoti Amaj, who's 63 centimetres tall.
Oh, there you go.
These are over 18s. Of course, they're not children.
Thanks for the clear up.
Why is it so short? It's a child. Oh.
It's a baby.
And the tallest living is Sultan Kozin, who's 251 centimetres tall.
Whoa.
A difference.
He's shorter than the difference, I guess.
Making a difference of 188 centimetres.
Oh, wow.
There we go. God. So that is 4-2.
One more fact. Sam is wiping the floor with me.
Yes.
But there's always a chance you might get some credibility back, Robin, with this final question. And we can always do the tiebreaker.
This isn't the final question, surely.
Number 10, yeah.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Okay, question 10. 4-2.
Oh, yeah.
In which US state was the first T-Rex fossil found? Can I have one guess each and then I'll give you a clue?
Which US state?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Arizona.
No.
Arkansas.
No. Okay. Your clue is that the state begins with M. Letter M.
Oh.
Go for it.
Go for it. Yeah.
I was going to say Missouri.
No.
I was going to say Montana.
Correct.
Ah.
Oh. Yeah.
Montana. Well done.
Thank you, Jurassic Park.
Very good.
Yeah. Sudden memory coming back. That was a good one.
Yeah. So that's respect 4-3. Close.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Would you like to do the tiebreaker?
Oh, let's do the tiebreaker. Yeah. I've just closed my thing. Yeah.
I mean, Sam, you have one, but here's the tiebreaker.
Thank you.
Again, as every tiebreaker has to be, the closest wins. To the nearest meter, what is the total height of the three tallest buildings in the world?
Total height?
Yeah, if they were stacked on top of each other.
Ooh.
Come on, Gary. Don't buffer. Oh, it's just the end there. Oh, it's Graham Norton again.
Go for it, Robin.
No, you buzzed first, technically, I think.
One meter.
1 meter. Okay.
Oh, wait. The question was, what's the difference? What?
What's the closest? The total height. Closest wins.
One.
To the nearest meter, what is the total
one
height
meter.
Of the three tallest buildings in the world?
I feel like you're just giving this to me, Sam.
Price Strikes It.
I was going to say 2,500 meters.
That's pretty close. It's 2,061 meters.
Oh. I'm sure I wasn't closer.
You were in a different sense.
Thank you.
I don't know what the sense is. Different sense.
It's a very different sense.
Do you want to know this? It's the Burj Khalifa.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Dubai.
And then there's the Wiz Khalifa.
828 meters.
Yeah.
Then there's the Shanghai Tower in Shanghai, which is 632 meters.
What was that for?
Well, Shanghai. It's in Shanghai, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Wahei.
Clearly, you've never been to Singapore.
and then there's the Abraj Al Bright clock tower in Mecca.
Oh.
602 meters.
I've never seen that clock tower.
No, I that was news to me, and I'm a big skyscraper fan.
You love it.
So yeah, adding those all up is 2,061 meters.
Well, congratulations for winning, Sam. You are the brain box, Mr. 101 Facts.
Thank you for joining us. No, thank you for having me. It's a nice change from being in that booth all on my own.
True. Yeah, bit of company.
Yeah, it's always nice.
Get well soon to Alex as well.
Get well soon, Alex. He's all right. I hope he's not covered in his own black sick in a bath naked.
Well, you know, he might be.
He might be. And if he is, that sounds really bad on my behalf.
No, it's been good to have you, mate.
Thank you. That's right.